Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Business Blitz on the Melting Pot Radio Network. I am your host, Daniel Trowick, along with my partner in progress, Miss Danny Wright. Danny, how you feeling tonight?
Hey, man. I'm here. It's cold, but I'm inside, so I'm good now. But I was just outside.
Yeah, I know. You up there in the Cleveland area, y'all just had some snow, right?
Oh, yeah, man. And you know what's crazy is that what we got is not even as bad as it can get. You know, but the roads, it's like it warmed up. Well, it rained for like 2 days or a day and a half, and then the temperature bottomed out. Like the temperature dropped to like 20 degrees. So all of the stuff on the road froze. And then we got snow on top of that. So there's a sheet of ice that was on the road, and then it snowed on top of that, and then it, you know, they plowed the roads and got the salt trucks out and everything and cleared the roads. And so, you know, when they do the ice, the de-icing, it melts everything. Well, then the temperature dropped again. And then we got more snow. So the roads have been a mess, and so for the last 3 days, I haven't even driven my car into work. I've taken the train because I refuse to drive in this.
I completely understand. We're supposed to have some snow over here in Philadelphia, so yay. I'm excited. Don't you remember as a kid when it used to snow, life was just so perfectly great? And when you get older and become an adult, it's like, oh, man, a snow day? I don't want these kids home with me today. No. Snow days aren't as fun as they used to be. Snow days are not as fun.
Your joints start aching when it gets cold.
Yeah, yeah. That's what happens when you get old. I'm old, so I know my body don't work when it's cold or wet. And wet and cold at the same time, that's a bad mixture. But it's all good. We are here. I'm excited. You guys know it's Tuesday night. It's Business Blitz, our business and entrepreneurship show, where we have different guests each and every week that, you know, talk about what they do, whether they are working in the corporate world, whether they are professionals, whether they are entrepreneurs. You know, they give you some insight on what they do, where they come from, and you know, things that help you find where you're going, you know. So if you have an interest in something that they do, please, please, please take your notes. Get your notepad ready, get your pen ready, and take notes. You may learn something. You just never know. And tonight on this show, we have an amazing, amazing guest who, man, I don't know.
From Hampton University. Whoop, whoop. That's why she's so amazing. Just in case y'all were wondering.
Yeah, Hampton graduate. I say she's a super spy. I mean, I don't know if she was. I'm just going to call her a super spy. A multiple business owner, serial entrepreneur. She's doing it big time in my area, Philadelphia, as well as Virginia. So I just want to bring her on. I'm ready to get this show on the road. So bringing live to you guys tonight on Business Blitz, we have Miss Yolanda Kills Walker. Hello, Yolanda.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us.
Hampton,
welcome to Business
hello,
Blitz.
Hello, Hamptonian.
Yeah, Hampton is a real A, too.
Oh, gosh. All right, y'all want to talk about Hampton? I mean, you just cutting me off. Let's hear it. What's up, Danny?
I mean, Hampton's a great school all together. I like Howard. I have a bunch of friends from Howard, but there's just something special about Hampton. It's our home by the sea.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, talking about Hampton, you know, let's just jump right into it. You know, how was the HBCU experience? I mean, we hear about it. We see movies about it. And it looks all fun and so exciting. You know, was that experience the way we see it portrayed in movies?
Not really at Hampton. Hampton's a private school. It's small and it's in Virginia. Don't get me wrong. You know, we have fun. We turn up and all of that. But there are different caliber of students that go to Hampton. We have a reputation for being a little snobbish. But, you know, yeah, we do. But the students that, you know, come out of Hampton are amazing. I was in love with the school when I went there. It was by happenstance that I actually attended Hampton. It was a very last-minute decision for me. But I'm so glad that I did. I've made long-lasting friendships and just professional connections, and every year that I go back from homecoming, it's amazing. So, I mean, it's not that stereotypical college experience that you might see somewhere, you know, like freshman year, we had curfews. We have a rule called out by five. So, you know, if you mess up, you can better believe that you'll be out by 5 p.m. It's gotten a lot more lenient since I was there. Like, you can wear cutoff shorts. And they allow you to wear scarves and things like that. It was a lot more strict when I was in school. But, you know, we still have that reputation for being the best of the best.
The best of the best. That's what I'm talking about.
The best of the
now,
best. Yep.
Now, what was your major at Hampton? You know, what did you learn there that you took into your professional life after graduation?
I changed my major literally 6 times. So my freshman year at CMAT, freshman and sophomore, I took organic chemistry, which is a weed out class for anybody that is CMAT, and I did pretty good. I got a C on it, but I started thinking, you know, is this really something that I want to do? And it wasn't. So then I changed to English, then I changed to political science, then I thought about like math and science, because I had really, really strong, you know, like math and science scores. And then my junior year, I ended up switching to business, and I had to plead the dean, hey, you know, let me in. My grades are good. I'm a really good student. But, you know, I really think that I want to become, you know, something in business. I didn't know what, but I figured, you know, hey, business relates to money. I like money. Let's do this. And so literally my junior and senior year, I was taking 23 credits just so I could graduate on time, because all the other credits that I had, you know, really weren't going to matriculate into me being able to graduate from college. And so it was rough. My summers were rough. My social life I've done some things on campus. Gamma Theta, I pledged AKA Spring 2002. And so between that and between school and I was working and just having a life, like, I was all about that. What I will say is that it did prepare me, to a great extent when I went and I started working at the Central Intelligence Agency right after Hampton. It prepared me so much, and I was so thankful for the grooming that it did. If you look online, you know, sometimes Hampton School will get a bad rap because of some of the rules that they have, especially within the five-year MBA program. But they do that to prepare you as a minority working in corporate America. And so everything from, you know, the height of my heels to the type of suit, what color suit, to how you communicate with different levels of people, I was far more advanced than a lot of the people that I entered the agency with.
Wow.
So, yeah. It's funny that you mentioned, you know, switching your major so many times. I remember going through Hampton and started off in physical therapy and then, English and another major. I had a double major, and then I just went to physical therapy and then decided I'm really, really bad at science, so I switched my major to sport management. But we were basically in the School of Education, but most of our classes were business classes. And so I recall all of the things that you're talking about just as far as how to carry yourself. And the takeaways I had from my classes in business were amazing. I'm trying to think of who the business law professor was at that time, tall, dark-skinned guy with glasses.
His name, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. And this is just a random fact, but it really made me think and help me for business even. Daniel, this guy, he always used to get on us if we acted up in class. And he would always tell us that we had a slave mentality. Get so mad at him.
Right.
But, you know, as time went on, I remember thinking, what is the slave mentality that he's talking about? And it's just, you know, almost like I'm here and I'm doing this because I have to, and I'm not going to ever do anything more than what I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll just act however I want because, you know, I'm never going to be anything else. And so I think it's encouraging to hear you talk about how, yeah, you switch your major 6 times. I switched my major 4 times. But, you know, the experiences that we had in, you know, at Hampton, I think are absolutely lifelong and definitely changed my life. So that's my brief insight note on Hampton. She already said that, you know, we're clearly the best HBCU in the nation and ranked one of the top schools in the nation, period, just in case anybody was wondering. But
very true.
So, Yolanda, talk a little bit about some of the businesses that you have started and what you're most passionate about.
Sure. Entrepreneurship was something that literally kind of just happened for me. I was very happy with, you know, my 6-figure job in D.C. And I was, like, at a point in my life where I was transitioning from D.C. to Philadelphia, and I couldn't find the same job because the government, and I suggest this for anybody that's fresh out of school or really looking to work in a professional environment and make a decent salary. Like, D.C. is the place to be when it comes to a phenomenal job market. Cost of living is high, but the job market is amazing. The connections that you can make in that area are amazing. And I really haven't seen a place where there's so many progressives and everybody really kind of just wanting everybody else to win. D.C. is like one of those places where everybody's somebody, so it feels really, really good to belong. But, you know, I was there for roughly like 6 years just working in the government and then, you know, working on the private side for some very large contractors. And that's where, you know, the money comes in. One of the best lessons that I learned was to, you know, make yourself an asset, make yourself invaluable. And so I took every project. I was there before my boss. I was there, you know, as my boss was leaving. All of the business books that you read, all of the different rules, you know, I applied them, and I was able to, you know, become a manager very young into my career. And so all of that experience just in that sector are things that I took into entrepreneurship. And so when I was moving to Philadelphia, I was looking for a job. I couldn't find anything because the government market in Philly is not like that in D.C. And so I said, okay, I'll just start a business. So when thinking about what business I wanted to start, I thought about, like, cakeries. I was going to sell these organic dog treats that I did my dogs. You know, all of these different things. And I'm just researching and researching and researching. And I thought, wow, like, you know, what can I do that is a surefire way to make money? And so I remember, like, spending all day at work, you know, just trying to figure something out. And I had a hair appointment at 6 o'clock that day. You know, I was transitioning from relaxed to natural, and I was going to go get a blowout. And I just had a daughter. So I'm like, okay, great, I'll be home by 8. You know, no sweat, I'll see her before she goes to bed. And so I get to my appointment at 5. And mind you, I'm getting, you know, like an hour blowout service. I didn't leave there until 10. I got home at, like, 10:45. And I was a new mom. I remember just feeling horrible because I literally hadn't seen her all day. Like that morning, you know, when you drop her off at school and then, you know, her dad picked her up and when I got home, she was sleeping. And I was so angry because it was just such a waste of my time. Even though, you know, I was a courteous one and I made my appointment and, you know, and I tipped well and I did all these different things. I'm like, who wants to literally sit at work for 8 hours, battle D.C. traffic, come here to sit, you know, because you don't know how to manage your time and, you know, and have you waste my time. Like, I was very, very angry. And so that kind of planted the seed for my first business. A couple of weeks later, I was reading Entrepreneur Magazine, and I came across this concept salon called Dream, the Dry Bar. And then there's another place called Dream Drive that Rachel Zoe opens up. And I'm like, wow, this is such a unique concept for blowouts. What if somebody applied it to leave? And so that was kind of my first step into entrepreneurship. I emptied out all of my savings accounts, all of my stocks, all of that good stuff. And I said, okay, I'm going to put all this money into this business. Did that. I was actually pregnant, had my second daughter. And the week after that, I was open. So here I am, you know, wow. I don't have a cosmetology degree, I don't do hair or any of those things, but I knew certain businesses are semi-recession proof, and then the model had already been tested, so I said, okay, you know, I'm just going to follow their blueprint and put my own, you know, touches on it and call it a day. And so literally for the first 3 months, it was struggle mode, crying every night, literally working till 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning, trying to find people to work for me, trying to get business in, writing to bloggers, to writers, everybody, you know, just trying to create some type of buzz for the business. But I tell you, like, in that year, just honestly, like, not persevering and, you know, be willing to make a fool of yourself. I remember I was, like, at 52nd Market passing out flyers. My baby, like, in the baby Bijorn, which is, like, the baby carrier on me, and we're just, like, making it work. We're just making it work. And we took every client. I don't care if they came in at 7 and we closed at 5 and I was still there. If somebody was there to do their hair, like, we're doing their hair. Like, no, it wasn't, you know, no child left behind. It was, like, no head unleashed. So that is, you know, you know, what it was on. I worked every single day. I made, like, a makeshift nursery in the back because I was breastfeeding. I'm a mom, and I was like, you know, I don't care. I'm going to build the business that I want, and that's something that's important to me. And, you know, my other daughter was in school, and, you know, she was okay. And so, you know, I made it work, and that's what you have to do. And that eventually turned into hair products, me private labeling products for other people, a beard oil, just all types of things in the beauty industry, and then eventually into consulting.
Wow. that is such a crazy road. And, you know, I've learned through many different people that I speak to, a lot of their businesses came because of some crazy thing that happened. And, you know, your situation, you were mad because you had to wait all night to get your hair done and miss seeing your daughter. And, yeah, that'll help you. That'll help you think of something if you have that kind of mentality to think about things. And, you know, that is a very common occurrence that I've noticed is, you know, businesses have come from situations like that or similar situations where, you know, something just wasn't right and you just had a crazy idea. And, you know, we all get those crazy ideas every once in a while, but then we'd be like, nah, that's just too crazy. Huh? That don't make any sense.
Right.
So, but then you were crazy enough to say, you know what? No, I'm going to do it. I read an article. That's a great concept. I'm going to apply my own principles to it and make it my own thing. And boom, you did it. And like you started off, you said it was struggle mode. And ladies and gentlemen out there, entrepreneurs, business owners, a lot of the time when you start your own business, it is struggle mode, straight up. You know, you see some overnight successes, what you think is overnight success, but you know, Eric Thomas, who I follow a lot, you know, he's a hip-hop preacher. You know, he brings that passion. And, you know, out of the blue, everybody just started seeing Eric Thomas. And it was like, yo, I ain't hear of him before. Now he's everywhere. But, you know, he let it be known. It wasn't an overnight thing. I was speaking for 20 years. And, you know, I was working. And nobody noticed. But I was working. And I was grinding. And I never stopped. And, you know, can you imagine struggling for 20 years? Can
right.
you imagine? Like
right.
it's when you find that passion and that purpose to say, you know what, I'm going to do this no matter what, or I'm going to die trying, plain and simple. And, you know, sometimes in business, we have to get into that mentality. If you really, really, really do not want to work for the man, as we call it, and, you know, you want to do your own thing and be your own boss and create your own time. And with you being a new mother of two girls at that time, you know, how important was it for you when, you know, you finally got your business to a point where you wasn't in the shop all day, all night, and you were able to spend more quality time with your girls?
That felt really, really, really good. I am, like, a workaholic, so regardless, you know, now they are able to run on their own and I have people that manage them and it frees up my time so that I can do other things. One of the benefits is, you know, I never miss a field trip. If, you know, they want to do something or go to the movies or, you know, whatever else, like I always have that time and I can make that time. I still make up for it. I'll either get up early and do some work or work later. But, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, I just wasn't willing to sacrifice. And I'm very, very thankful for that. And that's the number one thing that entrepreneurship, you know, kind of provides me. I know a lot of people get into it because they feel like, okay, well, if I want money, like entrepreneurship is where it is. But it's really the freedom to do what you want to do. And it's very important as a mother and now, you know, as a single mom. You know, when it's just you and you're responsible for all the bills, all of the daycare expenses and, you know, just anything, you know, you have to work and you have to do certain things. And so I work very, very hard to lay the groundwork so that I have passive income that comes in that allows me to live my life the way that I want to.
So talk about some of the things, some of the challenges. I know you spoke about, you know, some of the challenges already, but specifically, can you give us an example of how you maybe had to sacrifice something that you really wanted to make sure that your business was successful?
Yeah, I've made a ton of mistakes, a lot of them. And it, like, sometimes when you have a big heart and you lead with your heart versus your head, you know, that can get you messed up. Like, I know my first business, it was extremely successful. I don't think that, you know, anybody expected for it to be successful. You know, even my parents were pissed that I quit my job. How are you going to quit your six-figure job and leave, and you don't even do hair, and this is not going to work, and yada, yada, yada. And then when all of the accolades came in, right, oh, it's, oh, that's my baby, she's so smart, you know, all of these different things. But, you know, that first business, which was like, you know, a business baby in a sense, because I was raising that and grooming that the same time that, you know, I had two small children. Like, at that time, I had two under two. And I had, like, a second C-section, so I was healing from all of that and doing that. Like, I sacrificed a lot in that moment. I was tired. I was really, really tired. And so, you know, that was a major sacrifice just in itself, in the fact that, you know, I had a baby there with me attached to me 24/7 while I'm starting this business because I wanted to bond and breastfeed and do those things. Like, you know, that was a sacrifice. That a lot of women, you're like, you don't know that struggle until you actually have to live that struggle when it comes with having a small child and having them, you know, feed 2 hours, like every 2 hours, and, you know, all of that. So, you know, that was a dying. I was married at the time. And so the fact that, you know, I had that business and I groomed it into something, when you are with a particular type of person, you know, and say maybe they're not doing well, or, you know, their business isn't taking off like yours, or, you know, you're starting to see certain types of attention, and, you know, they kind of, like, weren't ready for that. Like, that was a sacrifice in itself, and learning how to deal with that, and then subsequent divorce, and, you know, me not having that business anymore because that was a moneymaker. And, you know, when you are married, all assets are joint, regardless of who put in the money, regardless of whose it was and all of that. And so, you know, I kind of just gave that up and said, here, you know, go about your business. If I did one, I know I can do 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 and, you know, start again. So, you know, having to give up something that, you know, I loved, I created, I funded, I worked very, very hard. Like, that was very, very difficult for me, and that was another sacrifice. But, you know, I remember, like, just being at, you know, my lowest point because I was going through all of that. My grandmother was just diagnosed with cancer. I had another grandmother that wasn't, you know, that had failing health. And then I got this letter in the mail for, like, child support. And I'm like, how does somebody, like, ask me for child support? Right. It was just, like, thing after thing after thing after thing. And that was literally, like, the lowest point in my life. Like, God, like, I know I'm a good person. I didn't kill anybody. I don't understand why this is happening to me. Like, I really don't. And, you know, a lot of times, like, we'll look at the negative things, and it's kind of like you feel like you've done something to deserve it. And, you know, you don't. Like, life happens. And when you get a little bit of success, you better believe that, you know, like, somebody's going to come for that. And so you just have to, you know, resolve in your mind to be strong and to sacrifice and do what you need to do to build your business or to rebuild or to leave that negative situation and start again. You know, and I know that, like, I'm not the first to go through anything. If you've seen that movie, Joy, it's amazing. Like, her dad, her sister, you know, betrayed her. If you look at, you know, Steve Jobs, he got fired from, you know, a company that he founded. You know, if you look at, you know, Facebook and you watch the movie, you know that, you know, he stole that business from somebody. So I'm not the first. I certainly won't be, you know, the last. It's a part of the process. It's absolutely a part of the process.
Yes, indeed. Now, Yolanda, we have a caller on the line who just happens to be my wife. She wants to ask you a question. So, Lynette, you are live on Business Blitz with Yolanda and Danny and I.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. Well, first of all, I wanted to thank you, Yolanda, for your story, because I kind of subscribe to one of Daniel's good friends' philosophies, and it's actually his book title too, Dreams Are Built Overnight.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's been my latest philosophy. I don't even think I shared that with Daniel before or the author of the book, Daniel. But, you know, that's really been really important to me lately, and just to hear you talk about how, you know, the whole concept behind your business began, you know, and that just kind of shows that, yes, dreams are built overnight. You know, it just all comes from a thought and a planning process. But what I wanted to kind of touch on, I wanted you to talk about a little bit was, I know when you said when you initially started your business, you kind of cleared out your savings account and, you know, cleared out the money that you got from stocks and different things like that. What would you say to the aspiring entrepreneur that is looking to begin their own business, but they don't have those type of resources, and that's kind of discouraging for some people? You know, they think they need so much extra money to begin these businesses, but since they don't, that dream kind of goes deferred for a while. What would you say to that person?
Right. I would say, you know, you really have to first, like, change your mindset. And going from, you know, six figures down to, like, when I really decided that was something I wanted to do, like, I lived off of one check a month, and I banked the other check. And so that meant, you know, making sacrifices. I can't go out to eat. I can't go to every party. I can't shop the way that I want to. Like, I'm going to save gas. I'm going to do all of these different things. I remember the Christmas before that, it was, like, designer everything. Chanel under the tree, Louis under the tree, like, everything. And then the first year I started my business, I literally, like, was crying so hard that Christmas because I had gift cards for my baby shower, and that's what I used to buy my kids Christmas present. Mm-hmm. And so that was just a very, very, like, hard thing for me because it was, like, struggle. And by struggle, I mean, okay, I have, you know, $150 this week. Like, how do I feed my family for $150 this week? So if that's meal prepping, whatever that is, like, that's what I'm going to do. If that means, you know, getting a second job, then that is, you know, something that needs to be done. There are also different resources out there. You know, like, for me, I didn't have any business experience, even though, you know, my credit was good and I had a little bit of savings. Nobody wanted to give me a job, especially because I'm not a job, but a loan. Because I didn't do hair. And so, you know, that was a very big barrier to entry. One of the things, and I have a coaching business, it's called Business Babes, the website Business Babes Online. And we help women start businesses, men as well, but we kind of, you know, just coach them and help them figure out how. Where there is a will, there is absolutely a way. If, you know, you have an app in your mind and you don't know how to bring it to market, find a really, really good developer, you know, offer him some equity in the company to help you build it, and then you all go and build that thing together. You know, that's one of the ways. Don't give up too much equity, but, you know, literally if you don't have it, don't sit on your idea for 5 years and then be upset when somebody else figured out how to do it. You know, make it happen. Make it happen. There's a great site called Fiverr. And literally for $5, they do logos, they do intro to YouTube videos. There's just so many different resources out there now for people who, you know, want to start blogs and want to start businesses and do certain things. So I would say, you know, honestly, get creative. Research how other people made it happen. You know, if crowdfunding is the thing for you to do, like, by all means, do that. If stalking, you know, the guy at the SBA who writes the loans, if that's something to do, mentor him up, buddy him up so he can help you. You know, find somebody to help fund your business. That's cool. Pitching. I've pitched so many different businesses and have helped people win. I think the total is like over like 180 now. Just money for their business. And a lot of it, you know, they don't have to pay that. They're just different competitions and different things that you can do. But you just have to figure it out. If you want it bad enough, you will absolutely figure it out. If you don't, you don't want it bad enough. You don't. You have to get over, you know, your fear of talking to people, your fear of networking, whatever it is. Like, I don't care. I can get 1,000 no's. J.K. Rowling got so many no's, you know. The guy who did Starbucks, he got over 200 no's from banks. I think it was, like, 242. I know people who now would, like, stop at 5. Like, oh, I'm just not going to get a loan. 242. Yep. Like, and that, yeah, you have to be willing to hear no, like, 243 plus however many times it's going to take.
Yes, indeed. Now, she's listening in. Our baby was fussing, so she muted herself. But, yeah, she's definitely paying attention. And this will be a podcast afterwards. So, you know, it's something that we can listen to forever and ever and ever. That's why I love technology. But real quick, guys, we are going to take a quick commercial break and be right back with more with Yolanda Kills Walker. And as you guys all know, on the Melting Pot Radio Network, Danny and I love our old school music, so just deal with it. And as you know, each and every Monday on the Melting Pot Radio Network, we have Spit Game, our sports talk show, at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have Business Blitz. On Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have our Christian talk show, Commission by Submission. On Saturdays, we have The Show with Big TJ and Monty, Sportologist, at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And on Sunday, we have No Box Thinking Radio with Jonathan Kegler at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And he brings a bunch of different array of topics from transformational talk to Christian talk to entrepreneurship talk to motivational speakers. He has it all on that show, so definitely tune in. And as you all know, you can follow us on social media on Twitter at MeltingPotRN, at MeltingPotRN, on Instagram at MeltingPot Radio Network, on Facebook at facebook.com/ The MeltingPot Radio Network. And you can always email us at MeltingPotRadioNetwork@gmail.com. And, you know, that's how you can find us. And if you're listening to us online on Blog Talk Radio, please follow us online so you can stay up to date on the different shows that we have coming on, the guests that we have appearing on the shows, and the things that we'll be talking about. So thank you for your continued support, and let's go. Now, Yolanda, I'm back to you. Could you please let everyone know your social media information that they can find you, please?
Sure. On Instagram and Twitter, I'm at BusinessBabe. And my website is www.businessbabesonline.com. That'll take you to the other businesses as well.
Awesome. Just that simple. She's the business babe. You know how to find her. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Now, okay, so I want to jump right back in real quick. You know, you talked about, you know, your first business when you came out here to Philly, and that business, the Weave Bar, was major. It's well-known in the area, and, you know, after the divorce, you know, you left that business behind. You know, what did you do after the divorce, you know, to get back into the flow of it?
I really just rebranded myself into Sweet Extension Salon. Similar, but I just really wanted something to reflect where I was at that point in my life. And so I just really concentrated on the service part. I think that we've upgraded, you know, our customer service, still great value, but our service offerings and the customer service, you know, just elevated a bit.
Awesome. Danny?
Yes. what do you think are you interested in starting another business, or where do you see yourself in the next, you know, 2 to 3 years as far as businesses? Are you looking to set up more of your own businesses, or are you, I know you do consulting, so would you, you know, talk, I've got basically two questions. You know, if you're going to set up your own businesses, can continue to do so, and then also what a consulting session with you looks like for someone who wants to set up their own business.
Got you. I definitely see expanding and doing more. Currently, I'm like more investing in other ideas. So, you know, there's an app that I am a part of developing, some real estate stuff, beauty lines, and all of that good stuff. And then just helping other people with their salons. I do a lot of consulting in that area because of the success that I've had. And so, you know, I'm all about quiet money. I don't like to mention everything that I do because I don't want people coming after my money, number one. I don't like people counting my money, number two. And then three, I'm just private. But, you know, really just staying in that segment because that's been a real strength for me. And so the success that I've been in a couple of books and am considered somewhat an authority on the hair industry. So I've been blessed to do that and to be able to help people really kind of turn their businesses around and or start salons. So a lot more of that in the future. And then, you know, I'm a creative. So I come up with ideas, you know, on a weekly basis of amazing things. And it's really just like having to like hone down and make sure that, you know, the existing businesses that I have are doing great. But then also, you know, just starting new ventures. So, you know, that's what's in store in terms of the future for me. I do think that because of the success of Business Babe, that's grown, you know, over the last 2 years. We have an audience of, you know, roughly like 25,000 people between like all of our social media and our email list. And that's grown to be exceptional. I am going to start opening up a little bit and vlogging and doing some things. So that people really get to know me, because I get that all the time. Like, what are you working on? What are you doing? And a lot of questions. So just really kind of just expanding that part of me and opening up about my experiences and just the things I've learned along the way, because entrepreneurship is deeply rooted for a lot of people, and they just have questions.
Okay. Okay, that's great. And I apologize, my voice is going in and out. I've been having a coughing fit for the last almost 2 weeks now. So
if I
come back, I'm a little raspy. I do apologize. So so my next question is, Daniel and I are huge readers. He and I mean, we love reading motivational books and different types of business books and Christian books and everything. So what are some of your favorite books?
Goodness, I'm a reader.
Read.
I'm a reader. Yeah, I read like a book a week. And I really feel like that's not enough. I heard like Les Brown say one time he reads like 5 books a week. I'm like, literally, it's a book a day. Like, you do nothing but read. I have to get some work done. And then Warren Buffett, too. Warren Buffett said he reads for about 4 hours of his day. I read the business journals, both the Philadelphia and the Washington, D.C. Business Journal, the Wall Street Journal, and some news outlets. But currently, oh, my gosh, what am I reading? The Founders of Zillow just came out with a real estate book, and I have that on audio, so I just started that. I got Van Moody's new book, The People Factor. I'm finishing that.
Mm.
I saw him like.
But is it, what's the name of that one?
I think it's called
The People,
People Factor. It's People and Factor, I know, is in the title. And I saw him speak at T.D. Jakes' church, and he was just talking about excerpts from the book. And I was in Barnes & Noble one day, and I was so happy it was there. I just copped it. So I'm finishing that. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. There's a book, Rework, which is really, really good. It's by Jason Fried. That's a really good read. What else am I reading? I just, and I can never get through the whole thing, but Robert Greene's Mastery. That's a classic that a lot of people, yeah, all of his books are so long, like that and Artist Addiction. I try, but, you know, like, and then, too, like, I'm a self-improvement, like, book junkie, so anytime that, or I guess book groupie, anytime that T.D. Jakes or Joyce Meyer comes out with something, like, I always have them. So, you know, I have his Instinct, and what's the other one? I have that one in the study guide. So, yeah. I would say, like, starting out, I read E-Myth Mastery. That was a really, really good book, and it helped me with entrepreneurship and all of the myths that were out there just kind of get settled. What else? Rich Dad, Poor Dad, like, that's a must-read. It helps you
mm-hmm.
just transition your thinking from employee to employer.
Yep.
What else? There are a bunch of, like, really, really good books. The Richest Man in Babylon. That's more of a
mm-hmm.
common sense book. Oh, goodness. What's the other one that you have to read? It just puts everything. It makes you realize, like, why you're on the earth and how everything happens for a reason. I forget, but Pharrell was on Oprah talking about it. And he said that it changed his life. And I've read that book, like, 4 times. The Alchemist. The Alchemist is the name of that book.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm a reader. I love books. I read. I try to read one a week. If I don't, I definitely have it on tape. So I'm listening to now that Zillow book and then the Four Agreements. I'm listening to again. I like to read books like 2 and 3 times just so I can, you know, get it in because I'm a mom. So, you know, when you're in the car, sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't.
Yep. I completely understand.
Yeah.
I'm a father of 1 trillion children, so I completely get where you're coming from.
Right.
And pretty much all of those books that you just mentioned are on my list or I have read. And, you know, Van Moody's book actually just went on my list last week because on the show last Wednesday on Commission by Submission, we had a pastor, Sean Edmonds, on. And you, I don't know if you know who he is, but he's the pastor of the Faith Center. Down here,
okay.
I guess that's considered Nicetown area. I don't know,
mm-hmm.
but over in that area, and you know, he talked about that book last Wednesday, so it's fresh in my mind. And I never
awesome.
Heard of Van Moody before that prior, and then you know he talked about it, and then yesterday on the radio, somebody said something about Van Moody, so I'm like, all right, and now tonight, that's three times in the last week. I have to get the book.
That means you got to get it.
I have
yeah,
to read
you have
it.
To get it.
Yes, indeed. So, see, right now I'm reading Gary Chapman's The 5 Love Languages. So
oh, yeah.
you know that is what me and my wife are doing right now. We have our prayer time together, our study time together, and that's what we're doing because you know God, family, business in that order.
Yeah.
I know you guys all saw my post on social media. God comes first. Then my wife and my children come after, and then
right.
business last. So
yes.
you know, people, you can't put business first. It's not gonna work out that well. I'm telling you. I have a post coming out in the morning that you'll love. Just watch out for it. Now, you know, going back, Yolanda, to you know your days at the CIA when you were a super spy. You know, what kind of international business did you do, and do you see yourself expanding your own businesses into international territory?
Wow. It was amazing. I got to travel, you know, to so many different places. I got to go to, like, places like Angkor Wat, Thailand.
Who?
Angkor Wat, Cambodia. It's amazing. There are these, like, ruins there. And, like, these, like, Buddhist and Hindu temples, and you get to see the mosques and all of these different things. And it's just, like, it's a big cultural space. And it just really, like, opened my eyes up to how the rest of the world operates. And to just see, you know, like, traffic, like, they don't obey traffic signals there, and everybody's on, like, those little motorbikes. It'll literally be, like, a family of four on motorbikes, and the baby's, like, hanging on. And, you know, as I'm going through, like, some of these temples, like, I remember those little kids asking me, like, oh, I collect American coins. Do you have any American coins? Oh, sure thing. You know, you're a cute little girl. That's how they hustle you for money. So I got hustled quite a bit out there. And then you really see poor people. Like, your heart always, you know, kind of, like, turns a little bit for, like, the homeless. But when you compare the homeless there to the homeless here, there's no question. Like, they're really, really hurting in some places. You know, here, like, you know, you can go to certain places and at least get a hot meal. Like, there is... it's insane. And to see some of the people that have been injured by mine and just crazy stuff, like, it just opened up my eyes so much. And, you know, religion-wise, too, you know, I'm a Christian. And so to be able to, like, have a conversation with some of the Buddhist monks that were there, and there were all these little, you know, boys, and they were like, are you from California? Where are you from? You know, because it's very rare in Angkor Wat that you see African-American women. They see the men because of the military. But, you know, and they wanted to ask me all about, you know, like, American culture and all of these things. And I'm like, how do you know this? And you live out here. You know, there's literally nothing, you know. So it was amazing. I do a little bit of international business now with export-import. But, you know, I can't say no. You know, I'm not for certain. I still get called to do some consulting. My experience is within the contracting arena, and so, you know, I'll never say never. If it's something that excites me, then it's something that, you know, I'll go with. My portfolio is really kind of diverse, and I just do what I love.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
We're coming to the end of the show, so before we end, I want you to shout out your social media again, just in case someone missed it the first time. And then we're going to ask our close out questions after you do that.
Sure. So my personal Instagram is at Business Babes. My businesses are at Sweet Extensions, at Pink Label Beauty, at The Business Babes. And the website, you can find all of those businesses under, is businessbabesonline.com.
Awesome. So, in true Business Blitz style, we always ask our guests two questions to end the show.
Okay.
Number one is, what is your best piece of advice for current and aspiring entrepreneurs? And then our last question is, what is your favorite quote? It could be anything. It could be a scripture. It could even be something that someone told you. But what is your favorite quote that just kind of has always stuck with you, that you, no matter what it is you're going through, no matter what the business scene is, you go by this quote?
Sorry, yeah. I would say that my advice to entrepreneurs is to just do it. You know, a lot of people don't ever do it because they feel like they have to have all of their ducks aligned in a row. Like, you'll never be ready. You know, growing a business is just like a child or having a child. Like, you'll never be 100% ready. You want to plan, obviously, as much as you can. But, you know, go out there and test the water. you don't really know if you know your concept is proven until you do it and until you test it. And it's okay to fail. You know, if you fail, it's okay. Wow, there's so many. I'm a cult person. I collect them. I post them. I love them. I share them. The same thing with scriptures. I'll say this poem that I learned in college is called Don't Quit. And every single time that, you know, I feel like I want to quit, somebody's on my nerves, like they're, you know, somebody's threatening to do something or, you know, whatever else, I get into it with somebody. Like those days that I just literally want to quit, it's called Don't Quit. And I'll just start at the beginning because it's a little long, but it, when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the roads are treacherous, it's all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high and you want to smile, but you have to sigh. When cares are resting you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. And then, you know, there's a couple other stanzas of it, but it just, like, every time I say the words, it's just like, okay, I'm tired, but I'm not going to quit. You know, debt is high, but I'm not going to quit. People are talking, but I'm not going to quit. You know, you just have to do things to keep your spirit high. I have a gospel playlist and I have a trap playlist. What is the song called? It's like Ambitious by Pharrell and Jay-Z. Like, that is my song. When people got mad at me for firing people, like, that was my song. Moment for Life with Nicki Minaj. Like, Don't Worry About Me and Who I Fire. I Get What I Desire is my empire. Like, that is my song. And so, you know, those are the things that I do, for real. I will go from the Bible 1 second and crying, and then I will turn up. Like, okay, let's go. Let's go. It's go time. So.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
Love it. That's awesome. Well, man, I can't believe the hour's gone, but we definitely will be in touch with you and keeping up with you. We're praying that your businesses are all successful. And
Thank you.
Whatever it is you desire to do, that, you know, God would just continue to bestow his blessings upon you to continue doing what you love and helping others along the way. We just want to thank you so very much for joining us this evening on Business Blitz.
Absolutely.
Ah, man, my fellow Hamptonian. it's always great to get on and be able to brag about our school. But Yolanda,
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight. And we thank you for just your candor, for your advice. And we just wish you the very, very best.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, Yolanda. Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Danny Wright and Daniel Trawick, your hosts for Business Blitz. We thank you for joining us tonight. Be sure to tune in tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for our Christian talk show, Commissioned by Submission. Have a great night, everyone.
Good night.
Most of you don't want success as much as you want to sleep. I don't sleep. Some of you love sleep more than you love success. And I'm here to tell you today, if you're going to be successful, you've got to be willing to give up sleep. When you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful. I don't sleep. Said I got an opportunity to make a dream become a reality. Most of you won't be successful because when you're studying and you get tired, you quit. Sleep. Sleep is for those people who are broke. You gotta hear me. People talk about Oprah Winfrey, you know, Ted Turner, Warren Buffett. Listen to me. I don't care how much money you make. You only get 24 hours in a day. I studied the top millionaires in the world, and I discovered that they all wake up at 3, 3:30 in the morning. If they're getting up at 3, 3:30, and everybody else is getting up at 8 and 8:30, the reason why they're successful is they just got a 5-hour jump on the world. If you only have 24 24 hours in a day, your success is dependent upon how you use the 24. When you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful. I don't sleep. Said I got an opportunity to make a dream become a reality. Most of you won't be successful because when you're studying and you get tired, you quit. Sleep is for those people who are broke.